You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, I know we've prayed, but let me pray again. Father, please anoint me, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Pottery is where a man takes a piece of clay and he forms it into something special. Then they fire it. It becomes very hard. That which is soft becomes hard. That pottery could be a lamp. It could be a vase. It could be anything. But God's comparing pottery to the children of Israel. Israel had been fired. They'd gone through the fire. They were beautiful. And then they marred themselves. And God said, I'll take that marred vessel. I won't glue it back. I'll make it over again. I want to talk to you about the potter and the clay tonight. There are several observations I want you to see. I want you to see in verse number 3, I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Verse number 1 speaks to the potter's house. Verse 2 does, the potter's house. And verse 3, the potter's house. And verse 4, the potter. And verse number 6, the potter. And the verse number 6, the potter's hand. The potter always molds things. He always shapes things. My question tonight, are you allowing God to mold you and to shape you into what he desires for your life? God has a will for your life.
Amen.
God has a will for every person in this room. God's will for your life will not mirror my life. My life will not mirror your life. God has a will. Some of you, your will is to stay at home and to raise godly children for the cause of Christ. You say, well, that's not a career. That's the best career you can ever have. To live meager, to live on one income, to live where, and I'm not saying that's for everybody. I'm just saying that's the goal for many of you ladies today. That you'll mold your children to love God. You'll get on your knees when they go off to school every morning and pray for your children and pray for your husband. God's getting, you know, say, well, I'm not the pastor of the church. No, but you're doing a great job. You're raising kids for him. I wonder what God's will for your life is. Brother Chago, you had that man from the auto body shop, or the mechanic this morning in church, and his wife and family. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of his children came forward. I believe I may be wrong. Miss Tabitha here, Fanera, she prayed with that girl just weeping before God. I believe it was the same family. But God has a will for Chago's life. God has a will for his wife's life, and that she have the baby not tonight, but tomorrow morning. That'd be great. Yeah, I can't believe you're in church tonight. Are you okay? Oh, it scares me to death when I see these ladies walking around any day now. God has a will for your life. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I'm teaching this semester our preacher boys on the second man. You know, the second man, like Elisha was to Elijah, like Joshua was to Moses, like Jonathan was to his father Saul, like David was to Saul. Second man is not second rate. I recall my cousin was here this morning at church, and I recall my cousin Steve, who just retired from the pastorate. But Steve was 3 years younger than me. And Mrs. Smith, pastor's wife, said, I want you boys to play your trumpets in church. We worked together and we said, okay, we're going to play day by day. And with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials near. But we had a problem. Steve's a third grader. I'm a sixth grader. The sixth graders ought to win. The third graders ought not to have the lead part. The lead part is the best. I was the best trumpeter. He became better than I in time, but he may be listening right now. But he said, I'm not playing that harmony part. I'm not playing that second part. And I'm not playing that part. I said, you're going to play that part, Steve. I mean, I'm better than you. And I was better. He goes, I'm not playing that part. And we argued over it. I came back to my dad and said, we can't play. Steve won't play that second part. I'm playing the lead. He won't play that harmony part. My dad said, son, the harmony part is what makes the piece beautiful. Play the harmony. And I came back. I said, Steve, you play the lead and I'll play the harmony. I learned something. Being second in command does not make you a lesser person. Being a wife does not make you a lesser person in your marriage. I believe that the wife is the paramount one in the marriage. I believe that she's the one that's going to guide your children. She's the one that's going to train your children in the nurture and the admin. Now, I know it's given that command to a dad and a father and mother, but I believe she's the one that's the key here. And the potter, he has a will for your life. What is God's will for your life? You college boys, don't go in the computer field. We got computer people coming out of our ears at this church. And thank God for you. I want all of you to stay in the computer field. Stay there. But we need some preachers of the gospel. We've got to take these cities one by one and conquer. Well, I don't want to live there. You may not want to live there, but God may want you there. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. Maybe God wants you up in the villages of Uganda. Maybe that's the place God has to. Maybe your name will never be in the sword of the Lord and on lights and all that, but God can use you. Choose God's way. And the potter, he had a desire to mold the children of Israel. God has a desire to mold your life. They'll forgive me for illustrating them, but Brother Ken Dane back there and his wife, their three boys are being brought up to love God. They talk to their pastor. They're kind to their pastor. They're kind to students. That's what I want. I don't know what God may have them be businessmen or lawyers or executives or whatever, but God has a will for their life. God has a will for your life. Have you found his will? Too many want the will of God as long as it's a good environment. They want to change their job. They want to change your position. You want to change your paycheck. You want to change this church you're in. You want to change your pastor. You want to change your house. You want to change your state, your area. Why don't you say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Amen.
Because the potter knows what he wants to do with your life.
Amen.
We sing that song, the potter saw a vessel that was broken by the wind and the rain. And he saw it with so much compassion to make it over again. Oh, I was that vessel that no one thought was good. I cried, Lord, you're the potter and I am. Are you the clay? I am the clay. Make me over again today. So God picked up the pieces of my broken heart that day and he made me a new vessel. Some of you are broken. You say, God can't use me. God can always remake a vessel.
Amen.
That's what God is an expert in, building lives back up. I see this potter was so interested. I see that in his house, he was taking that piece of clay. The second thing I want you to see is verse number 3. I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Have you ever seen a potter work? There's a wheel that he's got that wheel going with his foot. And it's going in circles and circles and circles. But the potter knows in his mind what he wants to build. He knows what he wants to make. You're going to have to go on that circle of God. You might get sick to your stomach. You might get tired of it. You might get nauseous. You might say, I'm just going in circles. I'm going in circles. I'm going in circles. That's where God wants you. God wants to take you as a piece of hunk of clay, throw it on that wheel, and begin to spin you around and spin you around, spin you through hurt, through sorrow, through surgery, through brokenness. God wants to take everything in your life. God wants to take the divorce of your mother and the divorce of your father and the fact that your dad's incarcerated today or your mother's incarcerated. And God wants to take the alcohol that's in your home or the drugs that's in your home. God wants to take that and use it for his glory. And so he puts you on that wheel. That wheel spins round and round and round. May I say something? The potter knows what he's doing. I don't like the way God spins me around. But the older I'm getting, I know that God has a definite will for my life. I'm positive. I don't know about tomorrow, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know God has a will for my life.
Amen.
I want his will more than I want my will. I want God to perform his will in my life. I want him to shape me through, I don't like the idea, but through sorrow, through sadness, through heartache, through disappointment. I don't know, through financial woes. I don't know what God is doing in my life. But when he does it, I want to say, Lord, shape me. You're the potter. You want me to be a vase, I'll be a vase. You want me to be a lamp, I'll be a lamp. You want me to be a vessel that carries water, I'll carry water. But God, whatever your will is, that potter, whatever your will is, you've got me on this wheel, and I'm spinning round and round and round. You have a great will for my life. There's a third thing I see, and it's verse number 6. All house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Here it is. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. I see the potter and I see the wheels, and then I see the clay. Clay surrenders itself to the potter. Clay doesn't spin on that wheel and say, up, I don't want to be a vase. Nope, I don't want that. It doesn't say, I don't want to be a lamp. I don't want to be a vessel for water. I don't want that. The clay says, God, you're the potter. I'm the clay. Take me, melt me, mold me, fill me. God wants to mold you. I think, honey, of all the preacher's wives in this room today, you're in junior high or senior high, you're in elementary, you're in high school, you're in college. God's raising you up. God's raising you up to be a great preacher's wife. That man that you don't even know right now, he's going to be your husband. He needs someone just like you. Someone who's been tested, someone who's been molded. God has a will for your life. Girls, let God mold you to a preacher's wife. We have so many through the years. I got a list of all the girls that were brought up at North Valley Baptist School. All those girls that are pastors' wives tonight that are serving God with their life. God has a will for your life. My mother and dad, I talked about them this morning, I'll talk about them tonight, and I'm so sorry, I always do. My mother's been gone 10 years, my dad 8 years, I believe. But my mother and dad loved me and always encouraged me. I made my mother something in February, it says on the bottom of this, 1963. It was made in the pottery shop at class in school. I was in junior high. Everybody made a vase for their mother. Everybody did. Everybody made beautiful vases. I made the world's ugliest design. First of all, it's chipped at the top. That's the way I had to give it to my mother because I chipped it. I just drew lines all over this thing. It was and it is ugly. It's terrible. I made that in 1963. What would that be? 62 years ago?
62.
I made that for my mother. My mother is just a sweet lady. They lived in a big, beautiful four-bedroom house down here with a dining room and with the living room and with the family room. It was just a beautiful house, white carpet, just beautiful. Loaded with furniture. And then the day came that they had to get rid of all that furniture. They downsized and moved over here to Lick Mill, to those little apartments on the corner, one building down. And so they had to sell everything and they moved to that. Then my sister took them to Santa Maria and she moved them into a little smaller apartment. And then they could not take care of themselves, and so she moved them into a care facility, two rooms. And then they needed 24-hour day care, and she moved them into one single room. When they were moving from the apartment in Santa Maria to the care facility, I said, "Mom, we have to get rid of everything. We have to get rid of all your dishes and pots and pans." And that was hard for her. She had already given up all of her furniture. It was very difficult. I remember here when my dad was living in that four-bedroom house, I said, "Dad, Judy's going to take you away this afternoon. I'm going to clean your garage out." It hurt him because he had collected tools for a lifetime, working on cars and working on vehicles and things. And when he got home about 5 hours later, that garage was completely empty. He said to me one thing. He said, "Jack, what'd you do with all my tools?" I said, "Well, I gave several to the bus garage. We had to get rid of them, Dad." He never complained, but it hurt him so bad. My mother was moving out of that little apartment into this nursing facility. The only thing she took with her was this. I said, "Mom, I can't believe you." She had it on the windowsill of her apartment and where she washed the dishes. My mother at the end, it got too dangerous for her. She would put a towel on the stove and she'd catch the towel on fire. You know what I'm talking about. It was very sad to see. And so she had to have help. I said, "I'm going to throw this away. This is a piece of junk. It was junk when I gave it to you, and you've kept it all these years." And she said, "Son, I want to take that with me. That's the most valuable thing I have. It's really just junk." I remember Mrs. Roth was my teacher probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. I went to her funeral, a Catholic lady, age 97. And I said to Mrs. Roth, I said, "This is junk. I had a hole in it." She goes, "Well, let's repair it, Jack, on the clay, and let's work on it. I think your mother's going to like that. What color is her kitchen?" I said, "Pink." She goes, "Why don't you use pink?" And that's why the pink is on there. It's just a bunch of designs. It's crazy. It is really hideous. I'll leave it here. You'll see. It's a piece of junk. But it meant something to my mother. And you may think that your life is just junk, but not to the potter. The potter said, "I want to make you over. I can use your alcoholism. I can use your drug addiction. I can use the divorce that your parents went through. I can use the death of your mom, the death of your dad. I can use that in your life if you'll let me. I'll make you into a beautiful vessel." Let's stand together tonight, please. Our Father, I thank you for the Word, the Bible. I thank you for the clay. I thank you for the potter. I thank you for the wheel. Some of these kids are spinning around and around. They don't know what's happening. God, help them to stay on the wheel. You're spinning them into something very beautiful. I think of these freshmen. Perhaps they want to go home. I think of our sophomores. Perhaps they just want to quit college. Lord, if I'd have quit that sophomore year, I'd have missed out on my wife. Thank you for giving her to me. Just a few months later, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God wants to do something special in your life. Would you just believe Him? Would you believe that God could do something special? Teenager, God can make you really usable in His sight. He can use your past or whatever you have in your life for His glory. The altar is open. Would you come and use it tonight?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.